Can you hear me now? I guess I can hear myself. So I want to ask. All right, so as was said at the beginning of the service, we're going into a week of Thanksgiving. It's the time of year where we give thanks. Why we only do this one day out of the year, I will never understand. Because Thanksgiving, having a thankful heart, giving praise to God should be something that each of us do multiple times a day. It's something that is a basic principle of Christianity, but yet we find it so hard to develop that thankful heart. Sometimes we get so caught up in the ways of the world and what's going on around us and the tragedy that surrounds you and the trials and the tribulations that we're facing on a daily basis. We get so wrapped up in those things, we don't take the time to thank God for what he's already delivered us through. So my prayer is, as we go into this week of Thanksgiving, I pray that you don't just give God praise on Thursday, but give him praise every day this week. I can speak for this last week has been a trivial week. It's been a week of ups and downs in my life. It's been a week of exhaustion in my life. But in light of what's went on in my life this week, and in light of being exhausted, in light of what you turn on your TV, and in light of what you see going on in the world today, in light of what you see taking place in politics in this nation today, God is still in control. And there's still a lot to give him praise for this morning. So when you all think of Thanksgiving, what do you all think of? Well, some of the things that come to my life when I think of the word Thanksgiving is I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for a God that sent his only son, Jesus, to live and to die for me upon that cross and to be resurrected from the dead so that I would have eternal life. That's what I think of when I think of Thanksgiving. But the world wants you to think of other things. The world wants to think of the turkey that may be sitting on your plate on Thanksgiving Day. Maybe it's the football that you sit down and watch with your family. And maybe it's all types of other things. It may be there's things in your life this morning, there's things in my life that we have looked to tradition to do amongst my family. But we can't allow those traditions to define our hope in the future. While the turkey might fill up your belly for a little while, it may fill up your belly for 2 or 3 hours. In 2 or 3 hours, you're going to be hungry. It's not going to be enough to sustain you for the rest of the day. It's not going to be enough to sustain you the rest of the week. But if you have God in your life, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have enough to sustain you. You have enough to get you through the darkest of valleys and the highest of mountains. So what do you think of? As I start off in the message this morning, that's the first question I'm going to have you ponder in your mind. It's as you think of the word Thanksgiving, as you think of the holiday Thanksgiving, what do you think of? What comes to mind in your life? If there's anything that comes to mind other than God, then we all need to start doing some praying over our lives. Because when we think of the word Thanksgiving, we should think of the word God. And we should think of the person God and what he has done to give us that hope. A simple and true Thanksgiving is not a simple day for food, family, and football. For us as Christians, every day should be a celebration of Thanksgiving. In 1621, we're taught in history about the pilgrims coming over and celebrating the first Thanksgiving with the Indians. I believe in 1621 was the first time that it was actually celebrated in Plymouth, Massachusetts. In 1789, George Washington made a proclamation across this great land, across America, that Thursday, November 26th, would be a day of thanksgiving. It would be a day to celebrate what God has done for America. It would be a day for Americans to celebrate God and His blessings. But even before the Pilgrims, even before George Washington made that proclamation, we find people offering thanks to God. You see it all over the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Psalm 100, which is where we're going to be today, we find a psalm of thanksgiving where we are called to praise the Lord with thankfulness. But it also describes the nature of thanksgiving. So this morning, my message is going to be this. In Psalm 100, we find five key words that describe thanksgiving. We find five key words that define having a thankful heart. I pray as we go into this week that you have that thankful heart. I pray that you have these five things that God's word calls us to have that thankful heart. So if you're able to, I'm going to ask that you please stand. Turn into your Bibles to Psalm 100. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Let us pray. Our Father, we just thank You so much for this day. We thank You for this opportunity that You've given us to come together and give You praise. Father, I pray that each of us at this moment in time would open up our hearts and open up our minds to what it is that You have for us. Father, I pray that each and every one of us, when we leave here, would have that thankful heart that Your word speaks of here in Psalm 100. We pray that You would just move in a mighty way this morning, Father. It's in Your precious Son's name that I pray. I love You and I praise You. Amen. You may be seated. I have no idea why I struggled with God so deeply this week to give this message. We should all be excited about a thankful heart. We should all be excited about the celebration that we call Thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, the first key word that we see to describe a thankful heart and to describe thanksgiving is joy. And you can see it here in Psalm chapter 100, verse 1, where it says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Did you hear that? Shout with joy to the Lord. It does not come in. It does not say to come into God's presence and to be silent. It says to come into God's word and to come into God's presence and to shout the joy in your heart. How many of us this morning are shouting the joy and shouting the praises of celebration of what God has done in our lives? God desires, He actually desires, as He says here in verse 1, for us to actually get excited about what God is doing in our lives. God desires for us to get excited about who He is and what He is doing. We should be excited to come into the walls of the church on Sunday morning. We should be excited to come into His presence and to give Him praise. We should be excited to come into His house and be excited to be amongst each other. But we serve a church today where the church isn't living up to those standards. You walk into the doors of the church today and do you see people shouting? No, a lot of the times you walk into the church today and what you see is a funeral taking place. We shouldn't be having a funeral. We should be having a celebration of a resurrected Lord. He deserves our praise this morning. Are you willing to give Him that praise? Are you excited about what He is doing in your life? While you may look around you and you may see COVID and you may see the media telling them about what all is happening and taking place about this virus that is transforming our nation, where people are becoming fearful and people are focusing on the wrong things because of what the media and the government is putting out there for you to focus on. But this morning, I'm asking you, because God is asking you to focus on what God is doing in your life. God is working miracles just like He did thousands of years ago. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing to stand up and show the world that we have joy. Do you have that joy in your heart? Are you excited about what God is desiring to do? I'm tired of dragging people to church. We shouldn't have to drag people to church. We shouldn't have to call people and say, "Why are you not here?" People should have a desire and an excitement to come into His presence and to give Him praise. It's so disappointing to look at the world and you see Christians willing to make a commitment to watch a stinking football game. To, you know, people put it on their calendars to sit down in front of their TVs to have a date with their favorite football team. And as they're watching that football team on the TV, you know, you see them getting excited. You see them jumping up. You see them shouting. That is me. I do that thing because, not right now, I don't. We're kind of running low on the dates. We're kind of struggling this year. But the point that I'm trying to make here this morning is you see Christians willing to sit down in front of a TV and get excited about their football team. But you see Christians come into church and they just look dismal because of the trials and tribulations in their life. If you can get that excited about a football team storming down the field into the checkerboards, you can come into church and give God praise for what He's doing in your life. It's time if you're here this morning and you're looking at what's going to happen in your life tomorrow, you are looking at the trials and the tribulations that you're going to face tomorrow. Why don't you just stand here right now at this very moment and say, "Thank you, God, for what you delivered me through this week. If you've delivered me through what I've been through this week, you can deliver me tomorrow. Our worries for today are enough for today." But we shouldn't be worried about today. We should be excited about what God desires to do this morning, because God desires to move in this church. Are you willing to let Him move? We need to be filled with joy, and we actually need to shout about it today. Not only has God won the battle, but He's also won the war. God's word tells us who wins the war. When you look at Revelation, the war has already been won. So while Satan may think that he can come in, and while he may think that he can distract us, and while he may think that he can tempt us, my God's word already tells me that we've won the war. So that gives us right to stand up and shout, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what I know you've already done. So the first thing you see here in Psalm 100 is shout with joy. The second trait of a thankful heart is gladness. You see that in verse 2. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Singing with joy. When we come before the Lord, we are to come before the Lord with gladness. God doesn't desire for us to be sad. God doesn't desire for us to be depressed. God desires for us to seek his joy. As James said, there's joy in trials. There's joy in tribulations. Tribulations and trials only strengthen our faith. Many people, as I said a few minutes ago, they come to church and we sit here as if we're coming to a funeral. I've been guilty of doing that exact same thing in my life. I've came into the doors of this church before, and I sat there on my pew, and I've just sat there with a pity party amongst myself saying, God, why am I going through this in my life right now? When I should have walked through those doors and saying, God, how are you going to deliver me? I know you're going to deliver me. I look back at God's word, and I see how you've delivered your children time and time again. We were talking before the service started about the Israelites. You think of the Israelites and you see time and time again where God delivered them through miracles. He did amazing miracles. He parted the Red Sea and he allowed the Israelites to run through the Red Sea. And as soon as the Israelites went through the Red Sea, what did he do? He closed the Red Sea back. And as the Egyptians were coming through, they drowned. They were killed. And as they crossed the Red Sea, what happened? God wanted to take them into the Canaan. He wanted to take them into the land of Canaan. But they became fearful. And yet they sat there and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, wasting 40 years of time. God doesn't desire for us to waste 40 years of his ministry. God desires for us to be excited about what he is doing. He expects us to be glad about what he is doing. And folks, we should be glad about what he is doing in this world today. For he is still moving mountains just as he did 2,000 years ago. People are still being healed. I'm one of those people myself. I was healed of an autoimmune disorder that destroyed 10 years of my life. Why did it destroy 10 years of my life? I allowed it. I let it. Autoimmune is it can take its toll on you. Just like any other disease can. Cancer will take its toll on you. Cancer kills people today. Autoimmune disorders kill people today. But in light of those things, in light of me having, I still have an autoimmune disorder, it's in remission, but in light of when I get sick, I'm still glad that I have a Lord and Savior that loves me so much that his word promised me that I will be healed. While I may not be healed in this earthly world, I know when he calls me home, I'm not going to have this autoimmune disease. I'm not going to have to deal with cancer. I'm not going to have to deal with sickness. None of those things, folks. There is a promised land awaiting us this morning where there's going to be none of those things. So if God's word tells us that those things are coming in the promised land, why don't we start living like they're here today? Let's start shouting with joy. Let's start being glad in what he is delivering us through today. Because his word calls us to be glad. Shouldn't we enter the walls of the church on Sunday with an attitude of having witnessed the resurrection? God's word tells us that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. We should come with an attitude of celebration. We should come with an attitude of celebration because you should be here today celebrating what Christ has done in your life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we can tell you about that celebration so you can witness it in your own life yourself. Anybody can have that opportunity for celebration. One of my favorite songs, and I'm just gonna say the lyrics. If I go into singing, you'll just have to forgive me. But this is just one of my favorite songs, and I just want to share the lyrics with you. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Is Jesus living within your heart this morning? If Jesus is living within your heart, you have that joy. You have that gladness that we read about here in Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2. And it's time this morning that you start showing that joy, that you start experiencing that joy, and that you start experiencing that gladness because it is there. Third characteristic of a thankful heart is dependence. Dependence upon God. It says in verse 3 here of Psalm 100, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. This verse shows three roles of God. The first role that this verse shows of God is God is Lord. We are to make God first in everything in our lives. We are to make Him not only Savior, but we are to make Him Lord of everything. Are you making God first in your life this morning? Are you giving Him the first fruits of everything that you have? Are you spending time with God on a daily basis? Are you opening up His Word? Are you reading the Scripture? Are you praying for His guidance? Are you doing those things? If you're not doing those things, you're not making God first in your life. And if you're not making God first in your life, you're not going to experience joy. You're not going to experience gladness, because when you don't put God as Lord of your life, you are putting things of the world before God. So this morning, I'm asking you, what in your life is your God? If it's not God, it's something materially. So the first thing we have to do is we have to make God Lord, and that's the first role of God that you see here in this verse. I'd like to share Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. If you could put that up, please. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Here in this Exodus chapter 3, Moses had just experienced the burning bush. And Moses asked God, if they ask me who is sending me, what do I tell them? And God's response was, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Are you allowing God to fulfill His promises in your life? God has a desire for you to be joyful. God has a desire for you to be glad. God has a desire for you to be dependent upon Him. He created us, and since He created us, He desires for us to be dependent upon Him in everything that we do. Are you dependent on God this morning? If you're not depending on God, God's plan is not going to be fulfilled in your life. So this morning, I'm asking you, are you allowing God to fulfill his promises in your life? Are you making God first in your life over everything? It won't work out for you if you're doing it otherwise. If you have $1 million in your bank account, that $1 million is just going to last a period of time. It's going to run out. It's going to run out. But God's promises, they never run out. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I have so many blessings, I can't count them. I've stopped trying to count my blessings because that's the God that we serve. And God wants to pour those blessings out on you. But the only way that God can make those blessings available to you is if you are willing to make him first in your life. So the first role of God we see here is God is Lord. Number two, God is creator. He made us and we are aware, or we are his. That can be seen in verse 3 here of Psalm 100. God created everything and he has authority over everything that he created, including us. Yes, God has authority over us. He gave us free will. But he still has authority over us, even if you're exercising that free will. Why does God have authority over us? Because God created us in his image. And God's word tells us that we have two options. One of those options is to see Jesus. Is to open up your eyes and make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. That opportunity is available to every person. But if you don't take that opportunity, if you don't take that opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the free will that he has given you gives you the option not to do that. But if you choose not to do that, you don't get the opportunity to go to the promised land. You don't get the opportunity to experience Jesus in heaven. You don't get the opportunity to go to heaven and be with those that have gone on before you that have had Jesus in their lives. And so when I say God has authority over your life, that's what I mean. God has authority over your life because he knows your destination. He wants you to pursue Jesus. He wants you to be up there with him when he calls you home. But ultimately, that is up to you. Are you depending on him this morning in your life? Since he created us, he has a desire for us to depend on him. How many of you have run into people, or maybe you're speaking to yourself, and you can say to yourself, you feel as though you created yourself and that you live in your own self-centered world. That's our world today. We live in a world where the majority of the population is self-centered and living in their self-centered little world. We're in a world today where you see many Christians living in their own self-centered world, wanting things their own self-centered way, and getting mad when things don't go their self-centered way, so they quit serving God. That's the world that we live in today. When you're relying on yourself and when you're living for yourself, you're not being dependent upon God, and you're not making God first in your life. So for those of us, and I'll be the first to say, there's been times in my life where I've thrown a pity party for myself. And there's been times in my life where I've lived in a self-centered world, focusing my own self-centered ways. But I've learned in my life that when I become self-centered and when I start pursuing what I want, my life ends in failure. It doesn't work out so well. When I try to resolve my trials, when I try to resolve my tribulations, it doesn't work out so well. But when I surrender myself and when I surrender to God's will, amazing things happen. Just like Moses, when he surrendered himself, Look at the work that God was able to accomplish through Moses. When Noah was able to surrender himself, look at what God was able to accomplish through Noah. When Paul was willing to surrender himself, when he was willing to surrender himself, he was willing to stop persecuting Christians. And he had that moment, he had that transfiguring moment where God blinded him. And as he got his sight back, what happened? He saw what he was doing. And he gave his life to God, did he not? And you look at Paul's life and Paul was an amazing person. The second part of his life, he wrote practically all the letters of the New Testament. He didn't write all, most. God desires to do that in your life today. God desires to be involved in your life. God desires to walk through your life with you this morning. It's time we stop shutting the door on God and we start allowing God to do what he desires to do. It's time that we start surrendering the church to God and allow God to do what he desires to do through the church. Can you put up 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8? And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. You know, sometimes people hesitate to depend on God. Sometimes people, and here in 2 Corinthians, what this is talking about is giving. Sometimes people hesitate to give generously because they're afraid that they will not have enough left over to satisfy their own needs. However, here in this verse, Paul was assuring the Corinthians that God was and is able to meet our needs. God was and he is able to meet our needs today. The world might tell you, you can't give that to God. You can't give your time to God. You can't give your money to God. If you give that money to God, you're not going to have enough to put food on the table tomorrow. That's what the world will tell you. But I can speak from experience that there's been a time in my life where I gave the last $100 bill and I put it in the offering plate in Vacation Bible School one year, and he blessed me the following week with paying one of my vehicles off. That's not something that I had in the bank, but God put it in the bank and God made it happen. You see, God satisfied a need of mine. And God desires to do the same thing in your life. But you have to be willing to be dependent upon God. You have to be willing to have the attitude of, hey, God, I'm going to give just as you're calling me to give. And maybe not financially, I'm talking about time and effort too. A lot of people give their time with an attitude, well, I guess I'll have to do this. That's not giving generously to God. Giving generously to God is serving him enthusiastically and serving him with joy. So many times nowadays, you don't see Christians serving with enthusiasm. You don't see Christians serving with the joy that is only available through him. Don't let a lack of faith keep you from giving generously. Don't let a lack of faith keep you from giving cheerfully and enthusiastically. Be dependent upon the God that created you. He will supply your needs today. But you have to be willing to open up your mind. You have to be willing to open up your heart. If you're not opening up your mind, if you're not opening up your heart, if you're not putting God first in everything, you're not being dependent upon him. So here in verse 3, we see where God is Lord. We see where God is creator, but we also see where God is shepherd. God is shepherd. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 3. If we would allow God to do so, he guides us to the place of security. He guides us to the place of plenty. And he guides us to the place of rest. Again, I'm going to ask you to go back to the Israelites. As they were being delivered from Egypt, God was willing to take them into a land of plenty. God was willing to take them into a land of security. God was willing to take them into a land of rest. But they stopped depending on God. And they started relying on their own self-centered interest. Let's not be like the Israelites, and let's not spend 40 years in the wilderness wasting our time complaining. Because a lot of the time today, that's what we do. A lot of the time today, churches spend more time resolving complaining than we do getting to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It's time we stop the complaining, and it's time we start focusing on what truly matters, and that's lives lost, and that's lives that have drifted away. God desires to be your shepherd this morning. It says in Psalm chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. I briefly want to share these verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. He wants to guide you. He wants to shepherd you. With God being our shepherd, and us being the sheep, that requires us to be obedient. Requires us to be obedient to his will, obedient to his calling, obedient in everything that he's asking us to do. When I say the word obedience, I'm not saying, let's give part of Dennis. Being fully obedient, I have to give everything in me to him. I have to give everything about me to God. This morning, I'm going to ask you in your life, are you being obedient to God? Are you being obedient to what he is desiring to do in your life? Are you allowing God to be the shepherd of your life? Because God wants to be. You know, the thing about a shepherd is sheep are so dumb. Sheep are so dumb. If they don't have that shepherd, they won't know where to go. They don't know what to do. That's what we are. We're the sheep that will just wander and wander and wander without a shepherd. God is our shepherd. And he wants to take you to his plan for your life. He doesn't want to take you where Gigi wants to go. He doesn't want to take you where Donna wants to go. He doesn't want to take you where Kenny wants to go. He desires to take you where he wants you to go. And you can either say yes, or you can either say no. Are you letting God be your shepherd? It says in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He's already sacrificed his life for the sheep. He's already sent his son Jesus to die for us on that cross. That was the sacrifice, and Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. Let God equip you this morning. Let God mold you. Let God make you into what he needs you to be. Let God equip you so that you can face tomorrow. If you don't take the time today to let God equip you today, you're not going to be able to make it through tomorrow. So let God equip you today. Let God do what he wants to do in your life today. So tomorrow when you wake up, you can say, God, I surrender you today. First Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. At the second coming, God, the great shepherd, will judge all people and give rewards to his faithful followers. God is our shepherd. God created the air that we breathe. God knows. God knew all about you before you were conceived. He knew how many hairs you were on. He knew how many hairs you were going to have on your head. I feel sorry for you, Garrett. I'm right there with you. But he knew everything about you. Even before you were conceived, he had a plan for you all laid out. But he gave you free will. Are you going to allow God to do what he wants to do in your life this morning? Or are you going to rebel? Just as the Israelites rebelled time and time and time again. If God knows all things, shouldn't we depend on him? We should be obedient followers. We should have contentment when we allow God to guide us. When you allow God to guide us, or when you allow God to guide you, you'll have a contentment that the world can't explain. You'll have an understanding that the world, you'll have a peace that goes beyond understanding that the world cannot explain. So the first three traits of a thankful heart: joy, gladness, dependence. Number four, thankfulness. That can be seen in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. If you're not living a life of thankfulness, you're not being thankful. Are you giving thanks to God for what he's done in your life this morning? Are you giving thanks to God for what he's delivered you from in your life this week? He alone is worthy of being worshiped today. He alone is worthy of being thanked today. Don't you think that we as his children should be shouting thankfulness to him today? Shouldn't we be celebrating Thanksgiving every day of the year? Every day that we open up our eyes is a day to be thankful. Every day that we have a job to go to, we should be thankful. Every day that we have the opportunity to witness to somebody, we should be thankful. Every day that we wake up, even if we have only $1 in the bank, we should be thankful for that $1. Are you going through the motions today? Did you reluctantly wake up and come to church today, or did you come today willfully and joyfully? I pray that each of us came into his midst this morning joyfully and willfully. In Luke chapter 17, I want to share some scripture. Can you put the scripture up in Luke 17? I think it's 11 through 17. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. One man out of the 10 that Jesus healed of leprosy went back to Jesus and said, thank you. That's convicting, because that describes a lot of Christians today. A lot of Christians today look at what Jesus did in their lives. They refuse to look at what all Jesus has brought them through, and they refuse to thank the good Lord above for what he's done. Is anybody in this midst this morning one of those people that's refused to give God thanks for what he's done in your life? He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our thanks. He is worthy of our worship this morning. So I pray that each of you, as we are here in his midst this morning, I pray that each of us in our hearts are shouting with joy. I pray that each of us are shouting that gladness. I pray that each of us in here are depending on him this morning, and I pray that we are showing our thanks. Just as this one leper that was healed went back to Jesus and said, thank you. We need to be thankful for what God has done for us. Do you have that attitude of thankfulness in your heart today? God uses our responsiveness to teach us more about himself. He does not demand that we thank him. He does not demand that we thank him. The fifth quality of a thankful heart is gratitude. And it says in verse 5, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Here in this verse, it shows us that there are three reasons to be grateful. And I pray that each of us, as I mentioned these three reasons, I pray that each of us are saying amen. First reason, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Did you hear that? He is worthy of our praise this morning. Look back and look at what he's done in your life this morning. I'm asking you to open up your eyes and look at what he's done in your life. I look at what he's done in my life. He gave me a wife that I didn't deserve. He gave me two children that I didn't deserve. He gave me a mother and a father that I didn't deserve. He's healed me of an autoimmune disease. He's called me to and given me responsibility to areas that I never thought I would have responsibility. He has been so good to me this morning, and I stand in his presence saying, praise the Lord. Are you standing in his presence saying, praise the Lord this morning? For all of us should be willing to stand up and say, I thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. If I have a pillow to lay down my head at night, you should be thankful for the bed that you sleep on. If you are married, you should be thankful for the spouse that God has given you. If you have the ability to get up and come to church on Sunday morning, you should be saying, thank you, Jesus. Are you thanking him for what he's doing in your life? Are you showing gratitude to God for what he's done? The Lord is good. Number two, the Lord's mercy is everlasting. The Lord's mercy is everlasting. No matter what we do in our lives, no matter the mistakes that we make, God's grace is sufficient and his mercy goes on forever. His mercy is everlasting. If you know Jesus, you know about that mercy. You know about that grace. But if you don't have Jesus living in your heart, you've not witnessed that grace. You've not witnessed that mercy. I can't tell you words to describe that mercy, and I can't tell you words to describe that grace. But all I can say is the Lord is good. And number three, the Lord's truth endures forever. The Lord's truth endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures all things. His love endures trials and tribulations. His love will endure forever. The world's love won't endure forever. Material possessions die. We'll die. We're promised a death because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. We're promised a death, but God's word tells me that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the moment that I shut my eyes in this earthly realm, I'm going to be at a celebration. I'm going to be at a celebration that I can't imagine until I get there and experience it myself. But I get excited when I think about that celebration because I'm going to get to see Jesus for the first time. I'm going to get to see loved ones that have went on before me. But most importantly, I'm going to get to see all kinds of loved ones hopefully that we've planted seeds for. That God's used us to plant seeds. In Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Here in verse 36 of Romans 11, Paul gives thanks and praise to God when he writes, everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Our praise, our thanksgiving, and our worship need to be directed to God. We need to be thankful for what he has done. As we sit down for Thanksgiving this week, I pray that you have these five attributes in your heart. I pray that you have the thankful heart that we've read about here in Psalm 100. I'm going to ask Sam and I'm going to ask DJ to come up and I'm going to ask them to lead us in a song of invitation. As they lead us in a song of invitation, I'm going to ask you, do you have this Jesus today that God's word is speaking to us for? Do you have this Jesus today that you cannot experience joy, gladness, dependence, thankfulness, and gratitude unless you have this Jesus? Jesus wants to be a part of your life. Jesus wants to guide you. Jesus wants to direct you. Jesus wants to walk you through the trials and the tribulations that unfortunately we have to go through down here in this realm. Do you have that Jesus this morning? Do you have that thankfulness? Do you have that gratitude? Do you have that dependence? Do you have that joy? Do you have those things? Today is a day where I'm going to ask all of us to stand up. If you're able to stand, I'm just going to ask you to stand. As they did at the beginning of the service, I'm just going to ask you, think of one thing in your life that you're grateful for at this very moment. As you think about this one thing that you may be grateful, maybe one thing, maybe one person that you're grateful for in your life this morning, I'm going to ask you, would that be there without God? Would you have that one thing that you're grateful for in your life this morning if you didn't have God? I boldly speak for myself and I will proudly proclaim that I'm unworthy in my life without God. I am dirty in my life without God. Because without God, I'm self-centered. I want what's best for me. But with God, God's changed my mindset where it's not all about me. It's about others. I looked at somebody yesterday and I made the statement. It's unfortunate that in the church today, I'm speaking of the overall church, I'm not speaking about Grace, but it's unfortunate in the church today that more Christians want to be served more than they want to serve. Thanksgiving is about serving. It's about giving thanks for the opportunity that God has given you, that God has given you, that He is relying on you. He is relying on each of you to do what it is that He desires to do in this world, all for the benefit of His kingdom. So this morning, as we go into this song of invitation, what I'm going to ask you is, as you thought about that one thing to be grateful for, have you given God thanks for that? Have you shouted to the Lord and said, "Thank you, Jesus"? Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. I'm going to give you that opportunity to say thank you, Jesus, to say thank you, God, because that's what this week is all about. That should be what every day of our lives is about. Thank you, Jesus, for relying on me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving on me and coming into my life and changing me and molding me and making me into what it is that you desire for me to be. I know that I can do great things for Him, but only through Him and allowing Him to do what He desires to do through me. But He can do those same things in your life. It's time that you stop allowing the mistakes of your life to define your future. God doesn't look at the mistakes to define the future and what His plans are for your life. God wants to use the mistakes that you've made in your life to be used for His glory. He wants to take you through those green pastures that we read about. But you have to be willing to let Him grab your hand today. You have to be willing to say, "Thank you, Jesus. I surrender all." Are you willing to give yourself up today and make it about Him this week? Make it about Him today. Make it about Him tomorrow. It's time that Christians take a stand for Jesus instead of taking a stand for themselves. I've seen many people over the course of the last 6 months take a stand for themselves and not take a stand for Jesus. This morning it's time that we stand and we say, "Thank you, Jesus, for what You've done in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for what You're going to keep doing." Do you know that Jesus this morning?
All of Your ways, You are perfect in all of Your ways. Tell them, church, you are perfect. Come on. You are perfect in all of your ways. So perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Two ways. You are so perfect in all of your ways. Come on. You are perfect in all of your ways.
Close the service out. I just want to remind everybody that if you're interested in going to the, if you're interested in the men's conference that will be here at the church the 5th and 6th of February, the Johnny Hunt simulcast, please sign up on your way out at the table. The early bird deadline to make reservations is December the 1st, and I want to save the church money, so I want to meet the early bird deadline. So if you're interested in going, please ensure that you do sign up so we have an idea as to how many people will be in attendance, because the pricing for the simulcast depends upon how many people sign up to go. So please ensure you do sign up on your way out today. I pray that all of you will come back tonight at 6 o'clock and help us celebrate Thanksgiving and enjoy a delicious Thanksgiving dinner. I'm excited. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm excited about every day. There's a reason to be excited. And the only reason that there is to be excited is because of Jesus and what he's done and what he wants to do in your life. My prayer is that each of us would allow Jesus to do what he desires to do in our lives this week. And I pray that we shout with joy what he's done. Join me in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you so much for moving in the midst this morning. We thank you for the words that you have shared with us this morning. I pray that each of us would just take what you've given us. And I know there's ways in my life where I can become more like you, where I can become more dependent upon you. I know there's ways and areas in my life where I can become more joyful by relying more on you. So, Father, I pray that each of us would take the words that you have given us today, and I pray that that would be our celebration this week. I pray that each of us would wake up every day this week and give thanks to you for what you've done and what you will continue to do in our lives going forward. Thank you for being Lord. We thank you for Jesus. It's in your precious Son's name that I pray for these things. And all God's people said, amen.